Where were you on January 15th, 2009? Let us take you back to that day here on Mix 107.5. It was a Thursday. It was a chilly day back in New York where this took place. There was a flight that particular day, U.S. Airways flight 1549. Put yourself on that flight. You get to the airport. You're getting ready. You're going through TSA. It's time to board. You get on the plane. Everything seems to be normal. That particular flight that day, flying from New York to Seattle by way of Charlotte, North Carolina. And everything seemed to be normal until that flight took off and about 10 minutes in hit a flock of birds. That was it. The engines went dead. And that plane had to land on the Hudson River. Do you recall the Miracle on the Hudson? A lot of talk right now about the movie Sully. And joining us on the phone right now, one of the survivors of that flight, Glenn Carlson, was on flight 1549. Glenn, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you guys.
So appreciate you spending time with us. And you're over in what, North Carolina?
Yes, I am. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina.
All right, terrific. Well, we appreciate you getting your story out to the folks here on the high plains of eastern New Mexico and West Texas. Let's jump into it. First and foremost, obviously, it was that fateful day back at January 15, 2009. There you are. You're on an airplane. What seat were you in on that plane?
I was in 6B.
And I can tell you,
I've
flown many times. Many folks that are hanging with us have flown many times. You probably don't remember every seat that you've ever sat in. You would certainly remember this one because of what happened. If you don't mind, Glenn, if you don't mind taking us back, you know, there you are. You're on the plane. The plane takes off. From your memory, what happened? How did it all shake down?
Well, I had boarded a plane. I got to my seat. I was quite a hectic day. I was not supposed to be on that flight. I was actually on a 7 o'clock. I got bumped up to a 5, and then I was on standby for the 3:30. Mm-hmm. And I called. I got called number 3 for standby, and I actually got on the plane. Strangely enough, I was trying to get comfortable. I took my shoes off. I shoved them under the seat. I have these eye shades that I have. I put those on, and I have earplugs. And I put those earplugs in, sat there waiting for the bell to go off when we hit, 10,000 feet.
Right.
And I was ready to push the button and throw my seat back. But what happened was we got about 90 seconds into the flight, and the birds hit.
Right.
And you could definitely hear it. I described it as if you were in your home and somebody started to throw 1,000 softballs at your house all at the same time. That's what it sounded like. So there was this barrage and noise. You could tell that something had happened. And then after that, there was no sound whatsoever because they had knocked the engines out.
Oh my.
So outside, there was no sound.
Let me stop you right there, Glenn. So this happens, and do you realize the magnitude of what's going on, and what are you feeling at that very moment?
So there was definitely what happened was when the birds hit, I actually threw my arms out and hit my seatmate, 6A and 6C, and then pushed my eye shades up, and the guy next to me, Jim Stefanik, in 6A says, he goes, "That doesn't sound good."
Yeah.
And I kind of agreed. I said, "We're probably going to head back to LaGuardia." And I met Jim a year later.
Yeah.
A year later, and he told me, he goes, "You were as white as a ghost."
Yeah.
You were ashen in color. And yeah, I was trying to remain calm, but I was incredibly panicked and nervous.
And what happened then? Did Sully come over and make the announcement? What happened from there?
Here's the strange thing. It felt like forever until he came on with the announcement. And it was only another 2 minutes from the standpoint of once the birds hit, we were in the Hudson River.
Yeah.
That time felt like forever, like hours had passed. And I kept saying to myself, when is he going to come on and tell us? When are we going to find something out? But obviously, he's dealing with a calamity and
right.
kind of recognized that. Finally, he comes on and says, "This is your captain, brace for impact." And again, I turned to Jim, my seatmate. I said, "What did he say?" Because my hearing is horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. And then Jim said, he goes, "Brace for impact." And that's when it was like, wow, you'd never hear that before. This is really now quite a situation that we're in.
I got to ask you, Glenn, and maybe this is a personal question, but I mean, do you think at that moment, do you think, oh my gosh, this is it?
No. You always hear that your life will flash before your eyes?
Yeah.
You know? Well, my life didn't flash before my eyes, so I figured, I guess we're going to live. I mean, I don't know if you can equate those two together, but it's like, okay, life not flashing before my eyes. I said, we're going to land somewhere.
Yeah.
And I did believe, again, given the heroics of the captain and the first officer, I did kind of believe that we were going to land. And I knew after looking out the window that we were going to land in the water. I didn't know East River or Hudson River.
Yeah.
But the thing that scared me the most was the fact that we would land, and I did believe we were going to land in the water, that we would be stuck inside the plane while it maybe slowly sank into the river.
Golly, I can't imagine.
And that is what it's like. I said to myself, I was preparing, I said, you have to get out of this plane as quickly as you can.
Sure.
You know, as quickly as you can. So that was my focus. And maybe because that was my focus, I wasn't thinking about I was singularly thinking of that. I was not thinking about anything else, like the fact that, you know, hey, this is it, gonna die, say your prayers, you know. It was more the former.
You had a focus. Glenn Carlson is his name. Seat 6B on flight 1549, the Miracle on the Hudson, for the grace of God, one of the survivors who spent some time on the wing of that plane. At this point, how's the crew acting at this point? You've got your flight attendants, and of course you've got the captain, co-captain. How are they acting at this point?
So we can't really, you know, all we know from up front is that they're doing the best that they can. And the plane seems to be, quite honestly, it was a very smooth ride. It was very smooth.
Yeah.
And there was no sounds from the engine. So we were just, you know, like kind of gliding through the air. But once the captain came on and said, this is your captain, brace for impact, then the flight attendants began a chant that is protocol to say, brace, brace, head down, stay down. And they just kept repeating that. Brace, brace, head down, stay down. The two attendants in the front, the two flight attendants in the front of the plane, had no idea that we were going down the river because they could not see out the windows.
Wow.
They're situated, you know, kind of like facing, facing us.
Mm-hmm.
So, in that galley area, the windows on the galley doors are just those little porthole things. They're
yeah.
higher. So you can't see the
right.
fact that, you know, we're going to be going down to the river. Everybody else on the plane, every passenger knew, but the flight attendants had no idea.
Now, did you say it was 2 minutes from the time that you hit the birds until you were in the river?
Isn't this wild? In the movie, Captain Sullenberger talks about the fact that it's 208 seconds from start to finish.
Yeah.
The whole thing. So 208 seconds is, basically 3.5 minutes. It's a minute and a half up or a couple minutes up and a minute and a half or a couple of minutes down. That's it. The whole thing.
And amazing how 3 minutes can literally change your life. The whole thing, again, has to be somewhat of a blur to you. The plane lands. You realize, thank God, I'm alive. You're rushing for the wing. Are you trying to make a phone call at this time, or are you just trying to get out of the plane?
No, I had I wear glasses. When we landed, my glasses came off. My BlackBerry came off of my waist. You know, plus I didn't have any shoes on. And I made Jim Stefanik, who, again, I'll say was 6A,
yeah.
you know, he kind of jostled me. He's like, we got to go. Go. And I got out of the my seat. I went to the aisle. I forgot my seat cushion. I made a right-hand turn, picked up a seat cushion in maybe row 9 or 10,
yeah.
and then went out to get out on the wing. And the wing, this is like the wing on the kind of, I would say, the passenger side of the plane, not the driver's side.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know the nautical terms. And it was packed. There was like no room. There was no room on the wing. And I'm looking around, and I look up the fuselage towards the front of the plane, and off of the galley door is a raft. It's deployed. And it doesn't look like it's that full. So there's a gentleman hanging out the door, Doug Schrift, and I'm looking at Doug, and I'm looking at him, and I'm making these symbols, you know, like, I'm going to, you know, doggy paddle over to the raft, you know, and I'm looking at him, it's like, I'm going to jump in, and I'm doing these movements with my hands, you know, and he looks at me like, you're a crazy person. he points with his left hand, and he points his finger and says, and mouths to me, get back on the plane, you know? So I said, okay, that makes sense. You know, so I got back on the plane, ran up the aisle, and then slipped into the raft. So Doug saved me from, swimming 30 feet in freezing water. Like,
sure.
No, I don't think there's a lot of traffic on the plane right now. You could probably get up the aisle.
So much more to talk to you about, Glenn. Do you mind hanging on just a sec? We're going to take a quick break, come right back, and we want to visit with you more. There's a fascinating story. We appreciate your time. Can you hang with us for just a sec?
Yes, I can. Absolutely.
Glenn Carlson, seat 6B on flight 1549. The Miracle on the Hudson. More with him next. If you're just joining us, on the phone with us is a gentleman named Glenn Carlson. He's back in the Carolinas, North Carolina. What's fascinating about Glenn is he is one of the survivors, one of the passengers on flight 1549. You'll remember back 7 years ago, January 2009, when that particular plane, the trip lasted all of 3 minutes and wound up landing safely on the Hudson. It was Captain Chesley Sullenberger, Sully as he's known, who cruised that plane, glided that plane down, and no loss of life. And thankfully, Glenn is here to tell the story this morning with us. We appreciate you hanging out with us, Glenn.
Oh, you're very, very welcome.
So when we kind of wrapped up here a few minutes ago, you were telling us about the experience that day. Would love to find out, you know, since that time, again, it's been, you know, roughly 7 years since all of that happened. It happened in 2009. So I got to ask you, you know, when it comes time, it sounds like you're a businessman. It comes time. Do you have any trepidation about getting on an airplane? Do you still fly?
I still do. It's part of my job. It's the way I commute to, you know, to work, to get to the, you know, to get the clients and whatnot. So yes, I'm still flying. And for the first year, probably the first 2 years after that, every time I got on a plane, there was a certain adrenaline rush that came along with it. It's like, my goodness, if you can survive a plane crash, I mean, you kind of feel a little bit invincible.
Sure.
Every time I got on a plane, and for the about the first couple of years, I asked the flight attendant when I got on, I said, would it be okay if I just said hello to the captain in the cockpit? And sometimes they would look at me like a little, okay, why do you want to do that? I said, hey, listen, I was on that Miracle on the Hudson flight. I would just like to thank them for everything that they do. And so I got to thank pilots just in general for what they do, and quite honestly, because it's so overlooked, the amount of skill that they possess and the professionalism that they need to do their job in an era where, you know, it's kind of become so regular to fly,
right.
Like, you know, hopping on a bus. And that actually helped calm some of my trepidation is, you know, meeting with the pilots. Every single time, they absolutely said, thank you for coming up here. Thanks for, you know, just saying hello.
Were you ever able to thank personally Sully and co-captain Skiles? Were you ever have the opportunity to look them in the eye and shake their hand and say thank you?
Yes. They came to right before Captain Sullenberger did the interview with Katie Couric. He came to Charlotte, and they arranged for anybody who was on the plane and everybody who was on the plane, their family, to come and meet the entire crew.
Mm.
And we got to meet the entire crew and thank each and every one of them. As a matter of fact, at that event, which was at the Westin in downtown Charlotte, I actually brought a small little notebook. And I was getting everybody's autograph.
Sure.
So I was getting passengers' autograph. Hey, Rachel, write your name, you know, sign it big, put your seat number. And I met, you know, Captain Sullenberger, First Officer Skiles, and all three of the flight attendants. And Katie Couric, for that matter.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
Have you seen the movie?
Yes. It came out a couple of Fridays ago,
mm-hmm.
and the Wednesday before, again, passengers from Charlotte were able to pre-screen the movie with family and friends. So I did see it.
Was it traumatic seeing it, or did you enjoy watching it? Do you think it was accurate?
I would say, first off, the technology, this IMAX technology, is unbelievable.
Yeah.
When you see the New York skyline and the plane up there, it was a very, very accurate depiction of what happened, I think, the flight itself, the flight and the landing in the river.
Yeah.
And, you know, they show it a couple of times in the movie. So it's not just like you see it once, you see it a couple of times. I thought it was, I actually was watching, and I was just blown away. It's like, my goodness, I was on that plane. I survived that.
Yeah.
You know, that plane landing in the water. So there was a bit of an adrenaline rush afterwards. And, you know, even now, a couple of weeks later, it's just, it is kind of surreal.
Yeah, it's such a unique experience, and you're sharing that with such a small group of people. Do you stay in touch with, you know, the other passengers and things like that? Have you guys formed kind of a tight-knit group?
We consider ourselves a family.
Sure.
Yeah, so we probably saw each other. There was a one-year anniversary. We had an event in New York where it was basically to thank, like, the Red Cross and everybody who was on the rescue. So we had a huge event on the one-year anniversary, but we still continue to get together on a somewhat regular basis, you know, as a larger group, not everyone, but those who are in and around Charlotte. And then I do have three good friends from there. We get together on a more frequent basis.
Glenn Carlson, by the way, if you're just tuning in, 6B, that was the seat he was in that fateful day on flight 1549, the Miracle on the Hudson.
I just have one more question. Since you do have to fly regularly, do you find yourself watching for birds now?
I can't say I really pay attention to look for birds. Although now that you mention it, I probably will.
Sorry.
I was just getting over that fear.
Yeah. Do you ever tell the passenger sitting next to you? I know you said that you tell the captains thank you, and which I think is admirable. Do you ever mention to the passengers next to you who you are and what you've been through?
Oh, during that first year or so, when it was, you know, kind of like, and it was such a great story, right? It wasn't like a catastrophe. It was
such
a great story. Again, it's just like a nervousness. It's like, you know, just kind of talk to the passenger next to you. And I did tell many a passenger about the fact that I was on that flight. And I can only imagine it's like, you know, them eye rolling and saying, oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Like, I want to hear about a plane crash.
Yeah, I would probably get off the plane.
Thank you very little.
Yeah, I look at it just the opposite. Look, you're one of the luckiest men in the world. I absolutely want to be seated next to you. That's the way I look at it, for sure. Hey, just to kind of wrap up this morning, Glenn, we know you're busy, and golly, to take this much time with us, we can't say thank you enough. Just curious, though, because, again, you're in such a small group of people that have survived such a thing. How does the airline itself act? You know, the movie paints the picture for the captain and the co-captain and what they had to deal with, you know, in the time after the crash. How does the airline treat the passengers who survived that?
You know, this is just my opinion. So please do not take this as like, you know, hey, everybody thinks the same way. It's like the quicker, from the airline standpoint, the quicker that we went away, the better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, probably from a legal standpoint, it's just like, hey, listen, act of God is like, you know, just they didn't try to use us in a positive way. They didn't necessarily, you know, again, they weren't pointing fingers at any, obviously, any passengers,
right,
you know, for anything that might have happened. But yeah, it was the relationship was, you know, probably cool, to say the least.
Is there any kind of compensation that comes your way, or, you know, even a couple of free drink vouchers or something?
No, it's not. This happened on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, we had FedEx checks in our mailboxes, or FedEx, you know, like, delivered to our homes in the amount of $5,000 to cover any of the incidentals that you might have incurred in getting home, trying to get home, housing yourself, getting clothes, or whatever it was. And then if you agreed to sign a waiver excusing the responsibility of the airline, you got it. We got another check for $10,000. And that check, I mean, I signed it, and I put that money into the kids' my kids' 529 account.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, the airline gave us an upgrade to chairman's preferred status for 1 year.
Well, hey, as someone who travels a lot, that's got to mean something, right?
Yeah, well, you know what the funny thing was? It was like most people were like, we're not going to, you're so frightened, you're not going to travel for a year. So you get something, it's like, hey, here's some dog food. You know, cats.
That's like getting really, really sick on it, you know, at a restaurant, and them sending you vouchers to go right back, right?
Yes, actually, yeah, I know you got food poisoning, but here, come back again. Thank you.
Glenn, you've been an absolute blast, man. Thank you so much for spending time with us. We're so thankful that everything turned out well for you on that day, and we very much appreciate your time.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. You guys have a great day.
You too. Glenn Carlson with us, one of the passengers, the Miracle on the Hudson. What a fascinating guy.